We're going to be in 2 Kings, chapter number 6, to start out here tonight. And, pray for me. It's been a long couple days at work. I feel like I'm half asleep, but I don't know, just run down. But I don't think I'll have any problem falling asleep up here, I hope. But just pray for me there. And what I want to share with you guys tonight is, I was praying to God, asking Him what He would want me to preach on tonight. And Dad asked me, before he left on his trip, and that's been a few days ago. And I was praying and searching, and just nothing was. I didn't have peace about anything until it was Sunday. I was doing some Bible reading in the morning before, when I got up, and throughout that day, just still searching, and God was showing me things. And to the point where at one point I just opened my Bible, I was turning somewhere else, and like God pointed at a verse on the page. I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm like, what in the world, just pointing at things. And so I don't have a polished, I'm not trusting in my notes, because I don't have this like polished message that I'm all proud of. I just have some places I want to show you that God has showed me. So go ahead and open in prayer, and then we'll begin there in 2 Kings 6. dear Lord, I do thank you for this opportunity to come to your house, Lord, in the middle of the week. I just have a little refresher. I know for me, just going to work every day and all that just gets it gets rough sometimes, Lord. I pray you just I know everybody deals with that, and Lord, I pray you just help us all to get encouragement here out of your word here tonight, and that we would glean something that we need and can use in our spiritual life, Lord. We do think of those traveling, my parents, Lord, keep them safe. And I know there's others in the church, Lord, that just have great need, Lord, tonight. Lord, I pray you'd be with them as well. We do thank you for all you do, and be with this message, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so 2 Kings, chapter number 6. We're going to begin in verse 8. Let's go ahead and read there. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel. Doesn't that sound familiar? So, with that, as you guys know in the news, Israel is... yeah, they're under attack, seems like constantly, but once again, they're under attack from the enemy, so we need to pray for them as well. But we see here in verse 8, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once or twice. So it was more than that. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And this is just an impactful thing there to read. And the king of Syria is, planning his secret missions. And no doubt, if it was something of this time, you'd have papers to say top secret, all this stuff. And he's planning his things and his attacks, and Israel is knowing all this stuff, because what we see here in Scripture that God's telling Elisha, and Elisha's, you know, letting the king there of Israel know about it. And but what we can take from that right off the bat is that, you know, God is all-knowing. He is all-powerful, and we have Him on our side. So just like the Israelites here and Elisha, we can take great comfort in that, in knowing that the one true God, the all-powerful God, is on our side. And what a great thing that is. So we're going to read on. He said in verse 13, and he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about." And I'm going to pause here for a second. In our life, in our spiritual walk, in every day, we have just this very thing happening. We have the enemy that is round about us, trying to take us down, trying to trip us up, trying to throw things in our way, breaking our vehicles, doing anything that the enemy can do to throw us off course, to frustrate us, to scare us, to, you know, get us to, do what we're not supposed to do. And so we see here, you know, one might be reading and saying, oh no, they got him surrounded. What is he going to do? What's Elisha going to do? And we're going to see here. It says verse 14, they compass them, compass the city round about with all their great host, the Bible says. Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And so we see his servant here, he was scared. He was obviously very fearful because Elisha had to tell him to fear not. And so he says, what are we going to do? He looks out there and he can see the armies all the way around. There's no exit. There's no way. There's no seemingly no place to go. You can't, they didn't have a chopper to go up in and get out. There's no way to escape. They were stuck. They were compassed. And in those, in his servant's eyes, he he didn't see. There was no way to get out. He was done. They were going to be captured, killed, whatever. The enemy was going to get them in his eyes. So Elisha answered, he said, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And you may be thinking, what is he talking about? And his servant was like, it's me and you, Elisha. It's two of us. There is a whole host of people out there. A great host of people. They were compassed. They had horses and chariots. They had all those things. They had the big guns out there. And so his servant's like, what in the world are you talking about? And he's confused, no doubt. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Okay, so Elisha prayed and asked God to open his eyes. And the young man, his servant, saw that the armies of God were way more than the armies of Syria there. And had those armies all the way surrounded as well. And so that is what Elisha was sitting there. You know, he sees that because he's trusting in the Lord. He knows that the Lord has their best interest in mind, and he's going to deliver him time and time again. And so the Lord granted this young man a mighty privilege there in that day to be able to see the horses and chariots of fire round about. What a thing that would be to see. That'd be amazing. And so we see here, verse 18, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria.
And it came to pass when they were come into Samaria, and Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. So we see here that Elisha asked God to smite him with blindness. He did. He led him right there to the Samaria there. And so they're in enemy territory. Okay, so he took the enemy, brought them into their enemy territory, and then opened their eyes. And those people now, those armies, are probably a little petrified at the moment. They're right there in the middle of their enemies. And so you see here that the people, you know, he's like, "Oh, can I kill him? Can I kill him?" And Elisha's like, no, don't do that. We're going to feed them and let them on their way. And it says, so the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. So God used that and delivered them that day out of the hands of Syria. So we're going to jump over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. This is a passage that, it has been a passage that I've gone to so much this year. And it's what we're going to get into. It's a great thing. Right off the bat, we see in Psalm 37, verse 1, first two words, "Fret not." And you're going to see if you read this passage, which I would encourage you to do so the whole way through, it says "fret not" three times. Three different times it says to fret not. if we read that verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." And this verse is very impactful to me because, you know, we are oftentimes surrounded by evildoers every day, day in and day out. We can't leave the house. We can't turn the radio on. We can't do anything without seeing, hearing evildoers. They are everywhere, right? We're surrounded. And it is, I've been guilty of this, where I get discouraged. We're just getting bombarded. Everywhere I turn, we're getting bombarded. And I've witnessed other people get discouraged and they get wore down it's a sad thing. We ought not do that because we have God on our side. We have the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings on our side. And we're going to look at some things here in this passage that would help us to fret not. So we see here in verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." We need not to be envious of what they're doing. We need not to look at them and say, "Oh, look at them. They have, they get to do this, or they get to do that, or they have more fun, or this, that." No, we're going to find here tonight in this passage what happens to evildoers, what happens to the wicked. Well, verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb." We cut grass every week most of the time, right? Every week. That grass doesn't have a whole lot of time to grow before it gets cut back down. Though the evildoers are just the same. They're going to get cut. They do get cut down like the grass. It is like nothing. It's nothing for God. Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord." And that is our very first point right here. Point number 1, trust in the Lord. So first off, if we do not want to have a problem with fretting, which I pray that none of us have an issue with fretting. When I say fret, when I think of fret, I see the word fret. I think of somebody biting their nails. They are unable to engage in the fight. They're unable to be useful, right? Because they're scared to death. They're maybe huddled up in a corner, just you know, hoping nothing bad happens to them, right? They're fretting. They're scared. There are people that I've ran into, you know, at times that every little thing, it stumps them. They can't handle it. You know, our car broke down. Oh, I'm almost out of fuel. What am I going to do? Oh, this, you know, it's constant fretting, and that should not be us. It ought not be us, and I pray that we are not like that. So we see the first thing in this passage, I believe, that would keep us from fretting is this here in verse number 3. It says, trust in the Lord. And so we know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. All of it, not just a little bit of it, not just 10%, no, all of your heart. You are to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So we see here that if we put our trust in the Lord and we are trusting in Him wholeheartedly with our whole heart, that He is going to direct our path. We're not going to lean in our own understanding, so we're not going to be relying on ourselves to get ourselves through life, right? Because I will mess it up every time. So, and so that is what it is, right? If I lean into my own understanding, it's going to be messed up. I'm not going to do what needs to be done. But if I trust in the Lord and He directs me and He leads me in the right path, He directs my path, then I can know that I'm trusting in Him, He's leading me in the right place, and I shouldn't have anything to fret about, right? So that is first and foremost. We see also in Psalms 118, 6 through 8, says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. In verse 8 it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. We see in Isaiah 12, 2, it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And oh, that is so impactful. He is our salvation, is He not? And we should not be afraid because He is our strength. We can see this through and throughout the Bible, over and over again, how God is our salvation, how He is our strength, how He is our protector. We should not be afraid of what men can do to us, right? We should not. If we continue reading, and we see in verse 3, trust in the Lord. The very next point says, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. We see the next thing I have here is to do good. We see in Romans 2, 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. 1 Peter 2, 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Galatians says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We see here that I'm not saying anything about, don't confuse me with saying that you need to be, doing works and all this stuff. Good works will, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we do need to be doing good, right? We should not be focusing on, we shouldn't be doing evil, right? We should be doing good. So I'm not saying that our salvation is through good works or anything like that. I'm saying that we should be doing what's right. We should be doing good. And so if you are trusting in the Lord and doing good, those are two things that are going to keep you from being frightful or fretting. We see in verse 4, the next thing. Says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This delight here is something where, it is when you are so excited about something, when you can't stop thinking about it. You are so excited. Little kids oftentimes, they delight in a lot of things, do they not? You pull out an ice cream cone, maybe their favorite thing, right? And they delight in it, right? You see them light up. They're excited. They want that ice cream cone more than anything else, right? They can't get it out of their mind. Or you tell them, hey, we're going to go to such and such place, right? Somewhere they want to go and they love going. Some
you know, fun place to them. You tell them about it, and they can't even sleep the night before because they're so excited. They are delighting themselves in that thing, are they not? We should be just like that, and we should be delighting in the Lord. We should be constantly well, we read something earlier. It said he should be our song. And so that makes me think, you know, we oftentimes hum little melodies or whatever in our head, right? But that should be the Lord. We should be singing his praises and we should be constantly delighting ourselves in him. Should we not? And if we keep our eyes on the Lord, how are we going to fret about anything? How are we going to worry about anything? We're not. Because we're going to be focusing on him. We're not going to be looking at this other, whatever's going on, whatever's happening in our life that may be in our mind terrible. And there may be bad things that happen to us. I'm not saying that there's not. There are horrible things that happen in you know, to different people. You know, look at Sister Denise, right? That was a horrible, tragic thing that happened. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But she has looked to the Lord through that whole thing, and by her own testimony, it has made her grow, you know, in her walk with the Lord, and it's grown the whole family, I believe, and knit them closer together. And what a blessing that is! And that is what we should be doing. Everything that happens in our life, we shouldn't be getting sidetracked. I think of Peter when he walked on the water, right? You know. Jesus allowed him to walk on the water, and what an amazing thing that would be to do. But what happened? The waves were coming, the wind and crashing down, right? And it started getting crazy, and he looked away from the Lord. And what happened? He started sinking because he got his eyes off of Jesus. He got his eyes off of where they should have been focused. We should be delighting in the Lord. That is my third point there. Delight thyself in the Lord. I see in Psalms 119, it says, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Which we see there again, we should have the Lord should be our delight. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We should be digging in the Word of God, in doctrine. We should continue in that, delighting in the law of the Lord day and night. We should be, that's all we should, it should consume us, right? We should be delighting ourselves in the Lord. And if we do that, we will not be fretting. We will not be fearful. We continue on, verse 5 of Psalm 37. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. We see here, the next point here is commit our ways unto the Lord. This is when you commit to do something, you are saying that, you're signing on the dotted line. You're saying, I am going to do this, right? You're committing this. You're turning it over. You're saying, hey, the deciding is all done. I'm committing to this, right? So if we commit our ways to the Lord, we are giving him, turning over everything, all the choices, all that. We are committing it to the Lord, saying, hey, I'm giving this to you. It's in your hands. And if we do that, well, we don't have anything to worry about, do we not? Because God is going to take care of us. It says there in Psalm, it says, and he shall bring it to pass. And we're going to see here some other verses. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. How many times this happens to me all the time. My mind will start going, and my mind works in a weird way. And oftentimes, I'll say something to the wife. I'll say, oh, like we'll be talking about something totally unrelated, and then my mind goes through these, however it goes, it goes through these paths, and it just connects to this and this, and my mind will be, next thing I know, it's way over here. I'm like, oh yeah, and I'll say something. She's like, how did you even get to there? How did you get over there? And I'm like, my mind, it just, and sometimes I've told her the path. I'm like, well, I thought of this, and then my mind went to here, and then, you know, and she's like, oh my goodness, my mind does not work like that. I'm like, well, mine does. If I leave my mind alone and let it do its thing, it just goes all over the place, right?
And so, I don't know, you may have that the same thing. But we see here that if we commit our works unto the Lord, it says, thy thoughts shall be established. He's going to sit there. He's going to establish your thoughts and put them where they need to be. That's what I get from that passage. He's going to make me think about the things that I need to think about. And so my mind's not going to be off here running tangents, chasing rabbits, and doing things that it shouldn't be doing. It may not necessarily be wrong, but it's something that maybe it's not what we should be thinking about that particular moment, right? And so I see here that if we commit our ways unto the Lord, that He's going to establish those things. He is going to set our way where we need to go, right? And so I think of crossing a creek. You can cross a creek many different ways. You can wade through the water and get all wet and muddy and come out stinking on the other side. You can walk across the log maybe and maybe slip and fall right in. Then you're in the same boat as if you would have waded across it. Or maybe there's particular stones set across that river there that if God was guiding your feet and He was guiding your feet on every stone there, and you would go across the river there and get to the other side where you need to go, but you're not going to be stinky, you're not going to be wet, and you can keep on going doing what you need to do. And that's what comes to my mind there. That's my analogy that I get from that, is that if we commit our ways to the Lord, you know, there may be other ways that we can get to where we need to go. But if we commit our ways to the Lord, we're going to get there the best way possible, with least amount of baggage, with the least amount of heartache. And you know, we may go through some things, but that's what God wants us to go through, and He's going to use it to grow us through those times. But we're going to get there, we're going to go where He wants us to go, in the way that He wants us to get there, if we commit our ways to the Lord. And so I see here in Psalm 25, it says, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. And that's what I get there, is those paths that, you know, we need to go on the right path. We need to go where God wants us to go. Psalm 119, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. And respect, that's one of those things that a lot of young people and old people alike nowadays, that's something that people do not have, is respect. For the things of God, for the elderly, for anything really anymore. And it's really a sad thing. But we should have that respect, especially respect to God, respect to His things, right? We should respect that and hold that in high regard. And that goes back to the same thing as delighting ourselves in those things, right? We're going to be holding that stuff high, holding the Lord high, holding His word in a high regard. We're going to continue on here in Psalm 37, verse 6. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. What's the next two words? Fret not. Fret not thyself because of him who prospered. We're going to look at that here in a second. But first it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. So the next point I have is rest in the Lord and wait. There's so many things, so many places that you can go for this, but one of the things that comes to my mind right off the bat is Isaiah 40. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that sounds like what I want to be like. I don't want to be weary. I don't want to faint. I want to be able to go. I want God to renew my strength. I want Him to be able to use me mightily. So I see here that if we wait upon the Lord, we're not going to be trying to do these things that, you know, we're not going to be trying to do things in our own strength. We're not going to be trying to do things out of order, right? I think of Abraham, right? Actually, Brother DeKreider, John G., he preached a message on this, I believe it was at camp. And it's so impactful to me. I've thought about this so many times. He said, you know, I think it was at camp. It was one of the messages he preached, and I was like, man, that's so good. He said,
You know, God may let you know what He wants you to do and not tell you how it's going to be done or not show you the rest of it. He just say, hey, I'm going to do this. I want you to do this. And He may not give you the rest of it because it's not time yet. And He used the example of Abraham and how He said, hey, you're going to have a son. And Abraham's like, oh, yes. And then he goes off and he wasn't patient. He wasn't waiting on the Lord. And the next thing you know, that's why we have all the problems going on over there in the Middle East still to this day, is because Abraham, he didn't wait. And so you see the repercussions of it. Abraham didn't know that was going to cause all the wars and everything going on over there right now. He didn't know that. But him not waiting on the Lord in that particular day made that, that is what happened. And that should be a huge, that should make us just get, that should scare us. Because I don't know if I don't wait on the Lord for something and I jump out in front and say, oh, well, He said He wants me to do this. I know this is what I need to be doing. And I go and just, you know, bulldoze my way through and try to make it happen myself. What's going to be the repercussions of that down the road? What's going to happen? Who might be hurt through that? Right? And so, we should rest the Lord and wait on Him. It's so important. We also see that resting in the Lord, we see in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, what a blessing that is. He says, hey, come unto me. You can rest. I will take your yoke upon me. You don't have to do that. We see in Hebrews 4 as well, 3 and 4, we see we are to enter into His rest. What a blessing that is. And we don't have to do, it's not in our own works. We don't have to be pushing this. We don't have to be carrying the load. We can rest in the Lord and know that He is going to carry that burden and He is going to guide and direct us. He is going to put us on that right path. And if we just trust in Him, we commit our ways unto Him, we delight in Him, and He'll take care of the rest. He's got that army round about, the army, the chariots of fire, ready to do their thing. We don't need to be, we just need to trust in Him. That's all we need to do. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. By that careful is don't worry. Don't be sitting here fretting about things. Don't be worried for anything. For in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a blessing. I continue reading in Psalm 37. We see here, verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And then again it says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So I see here, cease from anger, and that is another point I have. And some might say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, if you, did you see Elisha in that story? Did you see Elisha in that account there? Was he mad at the Syrians? Was he upset at anything? No. When he got them there to Israel, to Syria, and those were saying, can I kill him? Can I kill him? Well, was Elisha doing that? No. Did Elisha have any type of anger towards those people because they were coming to kill him or to get him? And maybe kill him. I don't know what their intentions were. Did he have any anger about that? No. He didn't. Why? Because he trusted in the Lord and he knew the Lord had it all handled. And if God wanted those people dead, then, well, guess what? He would take care of it. And so I'm reading, you know, reading that, I'm like, wow, why is this in here? Well, what does this have to do with anything? Well, that's exactly it. We shouldn't, I feel like we get mad at other people. We get mad at the evildoers. We get mad at the wicked. We get mad at all these people because we feel like they're you know, threatening us and they're hurting us and they're trying to trip us up. Well, they are, but ultimately they're not, they're after God. They don't like God, right? And He is our King. He is our Savior. And He is going to take care of us. See here in Proverbs 14, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, and but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. I don't want to exalt folly. James 1, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. How are we supposed to be doing right if we're having wrath and mad at people? We can't. It says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Ephesians 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We are to put that stuff away. We should not be speaking evil of other people. It doesn't matter what they're doing. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with anything that the Hamas is doing. I stand with Israel 100%, and I think that what they're doing is evil and wicked. But I can't, for me to sit here and hold anger inside me towards them would be wrong. It's tough sometimes. You see what they're doing and it's wicked. It is wicked. But I cannot let myself build up anger for them. I can't do it. It'd be wrong. And I wouldn't be, it says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And what are we trying to do? We want to do what's right and work towards righteousness, right? Righteousness of God. We can't do it if we're upset and holding bitterness and wrath in our hearts. The Bible says to have that be put away from us. Proverbs 16, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Read that a few times and ponder on that. Then we see here what the Lord is. Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Oh, how true that is, and what a blessing it is that He is plenteous in mercy. Because I know I need it. What a blessing that is, that our Lord is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. I would encourage you to read Psalm 37. It is a wonderful passage. We read through here, we would see how the evildoers, they would be cut off. We would see that those that wait upon the Lord, they would inherit the earth. It says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. It goes on, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon them with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such to be upright of upright conversation. They want to slay those that even talk right. They have a right conversation about them, right? They don't like that. They want you to have speaking foolishness and evil speakings and filth. They want you to speak all that, right? They don't want you to have upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. You can continue reading, and it's just amazing. It talks about the wicked, how they're going to be broken down, how the Lord is going to, He will prevail against them. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. We know that if we trust in the Lord,
If we delight ourselves in the Lord, if we commit our ways unto the Lord, if we rest in the Lord and wait on Him and cease from anger, then the Lord will uphold us with His hand. We know that He will keep us up and we will not be utterly cast down. He is ever merciful and lendeth His seed is and His seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Verse 31, the law of His God is in His heart. None of His steps shall slide. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. I'm going to skip down to the last two verses in closing. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. What a blessing that is. I have read this passage, I don't know how many times. I am continually drawn back to it. And it brings me encouragement. Because when you read through here, how can it not? How can it not encourage you when you read this? And you see that all He wants you to do is trust in Him. He doesn't want you to fret. He doesn't want you to worry. He doesn't want you to have that burden upon you. He says, hey, commit your ways unto Me. Delight in Me. Trust in Me. I will hold you up. I've got you. I'm going to walk you in the right path. I'm going to show you where you need to go. The wicked, don't look at the wicked. Don't be envious of their against the workers of iniquity. Don't be envious of them. Don't be jealous. Don't look at them. Look at Me. Look what I'm going to give you. Look what I will do. I will protect you. I will care for you. In Me is your salvation. What a blessing that is. And it all starts with trusting in the Lord. So when you look back at Elisha there, look back at Elisha in 2 Kings there, when he had the armies surrounding him, Elisha was trusting in the Lord. He had full trust and confidence that the Lord was going to deliver him. He wasn't worried one bit. He wasn't fretting. I always think of biting your nails. That's what I always when you're fretting. He wasn't worried about it. He wasn't scared. He slept just fine that night. He woke up, and his servants, he's like, oh, man, they're surrendering. He's like, oh, yeah, that's pretty neat. Yeah, they do have a lot of people. Yeah, but ours, there's more with us than there are with them. Right? That's how we should be every day of our life. Because there is more with us than there are with them. It may not, to the world, they're like, yeah, we got these guys outnumbered. Boy, do they have another thing coming. And it's awesome. It's a blessing. So I pray that this was an encouragement to you guys. I need encouragement all the time. With everything, it just, you can get down easy. You can get loaded, overloaded with so many things if you allow it to happen. And I constantly need to go, and I constantly have to go to God and say, hey, take this. I need you to take care of this. I can't do it. And, you know, when I do that, man, it just feels so good. It feels so good. And I find myself, it's funny, I laugh with the wife about it, and they'll be, you know, even at work, like I don't think of it like a dangerous job, because I just give it to Him. But that, I'm able to go to work and able to do that job, and I'm not, everybody works with me and is like, man, how are you so, you're just so chill. Just, you know, nothing really bothers you about stuff. I'm like, yeah, why would it bother me? Why would I, what am I going to do about it?
you know? And but we laugh about it, and she's like, you know, Janice will be like, well, you need to make sure you're being safe. I'm like, well, I'm being safe. I'm not letting it burden me down. You know, I'm just, it's nice. But trusting in the Lord, He's going to keep us safe. He's going to, I mean, if we commit our ways unto Him, He's going to lead us in the right path, and we don't need to worry about it. I pray that you guys, maybe you could get something out of that. It was an encouragement to you, like it was to me. Let's pray.